This week has been a challenging week. For most ministers, we had sermons written and services planned. And then news came out of Ferguson that the decision had been made not to indict Officer Wilson. And as a group, pretty much every UU minister decided that we would speak this week, in small ways or large, about what had happened. So this is not exactly the sermon I started with, but it's the one you're getting. I am not the body that I inhabit. I'm more than that. This is a meat and flesh suit with a color and a shape on a calcium frame with a 3.3-pound neuron battery, and I am not my body. I am the sum total of my experience, the living expression of my learning, and you are too. But when I walk down the street in this body suit, the sacredness of my experience is masked by the realities of my three-dimensional space. The world is too much with us, as Wordsworth said, and like Jehovah on the mountain, speaking through a burning bush, my words are filtered by what you see in front of you. Instead of the enormity of another human being's actuality, we are separated from one another by this and this and that. My accent is a combination of horse country and bluegrass, colored by Middle Eastern desert and weird Cincinnati pronunciations of Bologna and even Italian. I say please when I mean, would you repeat that? And I call soda pop. I didn't know what a bubbler was for a long time. You sound to me like Wisconsin and Minnesota. Some sound like the magnolia of Virginia or even the golden skies of Nairobi. We sound white, we sound black, we sound rich, we sound poor. Our hair is different colors, our bodies different sizes. You don't smell like me or walk with the same stride. You are not my tribe, or maybe you are. And no matter how much I try, in order to look for the similarities between us, I have to note the differences. I note the differences, and they distract me, and because I am a product of my culture, I stop myself over and over and over as I make judgments about who you and you and you are based on the sensory input that I see. But in this real world space, my sensory input can fool me, because I can't see the sparks but only the flame in that burning tree. I don't know why you picked the perfume you're wearing. I only know what it does to me. For all I know, your sister picked it out and you hate it. You are not your body. But your body is distracting. We belong to an association that says we value the words of prophetic people. And yet in a world where we are separated by distances of space and time and culture and color, accent and language and gender, how do I ignore the bodies that you're wearing and focus on the enormity of your words? In the past, our access to the words of others was limited by physicality. We had access to wisdom written in books chosen for publication by a primarily white male literary establishment for the edification of white people. And by white people, I mean white men. This has slowly changed, and now those of us who are not white or male have seen our voices, but there are still only a chosen few in hardback and supported by Oprah. If we didn't read our wisdom in books, we had what was given to us on television or radio, or what we could hear with our ears, as long as it was in a language that we understood. As long as we were not driven away or distracted by the color of the speaker's skin or their hair or their shirt or dirt or the tone of their voice or the way they smelled that day, or maybe they were too tall or too thin or not thin enough, or we were embarrassed because they looked funny. But now, with the rise of the internet, the world has changed, and what a brave new world that has such people in it. The burning bush has gone out, and on a daily basis, we can talk directly to the divine. Because most people will not write a book. They will not film an entire movie. They will not make the front page. But they will take a minute over and over throughout their days to share the one thought that spoke to them in a moment, the one thought that burned brightly. And when you get enough of these little bites, some of them turn out to be profound. And rather than being limited to the thoughts of one or two people in your house, or 9,000 in your town, or 100,000 in your city, you are able to share the profound bites of wisdom from people all over the world. Facebook and Twitter, Imgur, Snapchat, Skype, communication boards like Reddit and 4chan, Pinterest, live streaming video, billions and billions of bites curated in real time, experimental writing, art, music, theology, information, no commercials, no sponsors, no breaks that you can stop the world and run to the bathroom. Any language on the planet accessible through the wonder of the modern twin towers of Babel, known as Google Translate and Babelfish. Voiceless millions suddenly given the ability to speak without the intervening layers of societal control and real space limitation, and the end result is amazing. The wisdom of prophetic people is available everywhere we look, no longer tied to who can cut through the channels and the shackles of culture and cash to be the one officially approved to tell you what it's all about. Years ago, people said one day we might build a computer so wise that it might become like a god to us, and they were afraid. But I say to you, we built a mirror that at last allows us to reflect not the burning bush, not the flesh suits that we wear, but the divine fire that we kindle in the universe, the spirit of life and humanity that we as co-creators comprise. Together with our social networks and our internet, we are that divine computer. Go out to that mountain and find the places on the internet where you are captivated and elevated and transformed from your body. See the truth as it's presented by people living it. Seek wisdom. Eat the apples of the trees as you find them. Stretch beyond the reality of what you're given. Because if we hunger for justice, you need those apples. You need that information, that view of other human minds. And it will not be given to you by our mainstream media, our politicians on the left or the right, or our publishing industry. Because change has got to come to our country. Justice has got to come. And in the words of Gil Scott Heron, the revolution will not be televised. In 1970, the world was a turbulent place, and Scott Heron, who is currently called the father of hip-hop, said this: "You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself and skip out for beer during commercials. Because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. It will not be brought to you by Xerox. in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle, leading a charge by John Mitchell. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater, will not star Natalie Wood and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. It will not get rid of nubs. It will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of you pushing that shopping cart down the block on a dead run or trying to slide the color television into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32. There will be no reports from district after district. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers in an instant replay. No pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail. No slow-mo. Green Acres and the Beverly Hillbillies and Hooterville Junction will no longer be relevant, and women will not care if Dick gets down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day, and the revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on 11 o'clock news. No pictures of women liberationists and Jackie Onassis. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. There will be no reruns. The revolution will be live. November 2014, Tamir Rice was 12 years old, black male, Cleveland, Ohio. He was playing with an airsoft pellet gun in the park, and like any 12-year-old, he didn't want a baby toy with an orange tip, so he pulled it off. A white male caller called 911 and admitted that the gun was probably fake, but said it was scaring him. Responding officers pulled up on the grass, and the video shows within 2 seconds of arrival. The young man walked toward them, pulled the shirt up. When they asked him to put his hands up, instead he reached. The boy was shot dead within 2 seconds of the officers arriving on the scene. The event was captured on security video in its entirety. August 2014, John Crawford III, 22 years old, unarmed black male, Beaver Creek, Ohio, shopping in Walmart. He was shopping. He picked up a pellet gun in the store. A white male caller called 911 and lied. Said he saw a black male walk into the store with a gun and loaded with bullets. Officers shot and killed John as he shopped, unaware of the problem, talking on the phone. The entire incident was caught on the store's video cameras. April 2014, Dontre Hamilton, 31 years old, black male, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, emotionally disturbed, mentally ill. Officers had already responded twice that day to check on Dontre's well-being because he was hanging out at Red Arrow Park, laying on the sidewalk and being Dontre. There were no issues, and the officers found no reason to engage. They knew him. But another officer was hours late checking his voicemail, so he went down too. And despite the fact that he knew Dontre and knew that he was emotionally disturbed, he broke protocol and treated him as a dangerous criminal. He began to physically haul on him. He began to pat him down. There was a scuffle when Dontre grabbed the officer's baton, fearing for his life. The officer drew his gun and shot him to death. August 2014, Ferguson, Missouri, Michael Brown, 18 years old, white man, black male, was walking in the street when an officer responding to a nearby incident told him to get on the sidewalk. Michael smarted off. Everyone agrees on that. There was some kind of altercation, and the officer fired 6 shots, killing him. Michael Brown lay on the street for over 4.5 hours in front of his family. Trayvon Martin, 17, black male, unarmed, shot to death by a member of a neighborhood watch for looking suspicious as he carried his snack. Kimani Gray, 16, shot 7 times, New York, leaving a birthday party wearing pajama pants. Victor Steen, 17, unarmed, Pensacola, Florida. He shoplifted and was driving a bike as the getaway car. When he wouldn't stop for the officer fired a taser at point-blank range into his head and then drove over him, killing him. Was caught on video. The officer was not charged. Oscar Grant, 22, black male, Oakland, California, executed by a police officer. Shot at point-blank range while restrained on the ground and handcuffed. The officer said he meant to taser the restrained and struggling man at point-blank range in the head. But instead, he drew his gun accidentally in the shock of the moment. The officer did serve 11 months for killing this man whose crime was getting drunk or stoned at a New Year's Eve party and riding a party train with a bunch of other drunk and stoned young people and arguing. No weapons were present, but when they got to the station, all 12 of them were arrested. The execution was filmed by numerous cell phones. Became the basis of the movie Fruitvale Station. The list goes on and on and on and on. Black people are shot and killed at a rate insanely higher than white people. Native American and Latino people follow black people in those rankings. A black father gets shot when he tries to stop his wife and daughter arguing in a theater. A black man was shot after he called 9/11 because he was being burglarized. Burglars were white. They shot him. Mentally ill black woman beaten to death by the police in front of her family. They had called for help because she was schizophrenic and they needed to get her to the hospital. This past week, the grand jury chose not to indict Officer Darren Wilson. They looked at evidence. They were not called to judge his guilt or innocence, but only to decide, was this worth having a conversation? And they said no. The crowd response was almost immediate, and within 3 hours, police cars were burning. Over a dozen stores burned or shattered. And canisters of tear gas were flying through the air. And the stories we saw on the news about the protests in 37 states across our country were all colored by the opinions of the left and the right and the middle and the sponsors and the networks. I got my news from the internet. From people on the ground filming with handheld cameras because the revolution will not be televised. I got my news from people who let me hear for myself as protesters begged people further back in the group to stop throwing rocks. As protesters asked the police, why are you standing there facing us? Turn around and stand with us. We've got nothing against you. I watched as people followed orders and were bombarded with tear gas canisters launched from an armored vehicle 2 blocks away. I watched from the street level as officers told an entire group to go north or they would be tear gassed. And multiple people, multiple young black men began to ask, which way is north? Which way do you want us to go? Where's north? They tear gassed them. Because nobody knew north, south, east, west while standing on a street corner after dark. I watched as they blockaded both ends of a 3-block-long area and then told people, disperse. Where were they supposed to disperse to? And now I hear people calling for ministers and their congregations to pray for peace. They call for the raging protesters to just calm down. And they quote Martin Luther King. I do not ask you to pray for peace. Not if peace is just another way of saying, pray that this goes away. And they all shut up. And we go on with our lives. I do not ask you to pray to reinforce systemic racism, systemic oppression. We are called to stand with the oppressed, to stand in witness, and when asked to offer a demand of no more that rings from the mountains, not one more life. We are called to rip away the muzzle of the media, to rip away the muzzle of the mainstream news sources, to stand on that mountain and to demand justice and freedom. And we will not smooth over the surface of troubled water just so that we can hide black people drowning underneath. We cannot shout, peace, peace, pray for peace, when there is no peace. We cannot sigh at looting and arson and shamefacedly look away. Stand up. Bear witness. Our system is broken and the pool of justice has become a sewer system. If you believe in a free and responsible search for truth and justice, educate yourself on how to seek that truth. Use the internet. See for yourself. Find the sources. Hear the people. And then stand up. It does not matter. Right wing, left wing, libertarian, doesn't matter. Justice is the same. Help to raise funds so that every police department in America can wear cameras for both the officer's safety and the people's. Help to teach multicultural awareness. Help to discover new ways for good officers to share what works best. The American way of life is killing black Americans. And when they lay with a boot on their throats, it is impossible to politely ask that that boot be removed. With violence and protest, they are asserting their humanity and demanding that someone, anyone, hear and see what is happening. Open your eyes. Open your ears. See for yourself on Twitter and Imgur, Reddit and Tumblr. Visit the deep web and read and read and read. Engage in that free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Because God is there with the wounded. Theology begins with hearing cries for relief. It begins with Trayvon Martin in his hoodie with his snack in his hand. It begins with a mother screaming as her heart tears in two. It begins with a poor Jewish man nailed to a cross between two thieves. It begins with an 18-year-old black man dead in the street. It begins with us. It begins now. The revolution will not be televised. Educate yourselves. Amen.